ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
What number?
34.
4-20-34.
Lord Vishnu's appearance in the sacrificial arena. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace is Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila
Prabhupada.
The great saint Maitreya told Madhura, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, amply appreciated the meaningful prayers of Maharaj Prithu. Thus, after being properly worshipped by the king, the Lord blessed him and decided to depart. Responsible. Shri Chaitanya Mahavishtam Shabitam Jena Mukale Shriyam Bhagadamaya Vidakti Svapadantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prahuni Chananda Shri Rajagiratha Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
So there is a reciprocation between the Lord and his devotee. The Lord has appreciated the devotee. And the devotee appreciates the Lord. So in this way there's a competition, a transcendental competition. Who can serve the other the best? The Lord takes pleasure out of serving his devotee. And the devotee takes pleasure out of serving the Lord. Here in the material world, however, we want to be served. This is our false ego. We have ego, we have identity, but that identity is that we are a servant of the servant of the servant. But the false ego is I'm the master of everybody. Or I try to become the master. Maybe now people don't recognize my position, but gradually I'll become the master more and more. But this is the aspiration of the materialists. They're trying to be master over other living entities. They're trying to be master over the resources of nature. They're controlling it in this way and that way and getting some profit from it. Just like this technology, how they're so expert at manipulating the energy so that we can have our computers and so on. But what is the purpose? To make some money, to get some advantage here in this world. But that kind of mentality keeps them in the world. They think they have that advantage. I was recently in California. We were meeting some of the big, wealthy Hindus. Practically, they wouldn't meet us. Very difficult, because who needs these sannyasis and Hare Krishna? We have so many millions of dollars, so much advantage here. So it becomes a disadvantage. That's the point. We don't think so. We think, yeah, if we can exploit the nature, then we'll be happy. But actually, we become implicated. And then we become proud, feeling better than others. Even the mode of goodness, Prabhupada mentions in the 14th chapter, that even the mode of goodness conditions us to that sense of happiness. Because we are making progress materially. So we feel, oh, this is what I'm meant to do. I'm growing. My business is growing, my family is growing, my influence is growing. I'm becoming more and more powerful. So naturally I'll be happy in such a condition. But this conditions us to like this material world, and then there's no way to escape it. Therefore we say the first intelligent qualification, or the first qualification of the really intelligent spiritual aspirant is to see that to become frustrated. Intelligent person, first-class intelligent person, will become frustrated with this place. What is the advantage? I have money, I have this, but still the problems are there. Now my son is becoming a hippie, or my daughter has got pregnant, and what is the use of all my money and influence? My children don't respect me, and I'm getting old, I have trouble with my arthritis, and so on. And there's always going to be some problem. But we're so duped by the illusory energy that we think it won't happen to us. Somehow, I was reading a little article. A young man was explaining why in youth that they speed. You see them on the highway, right? When you can just know it's a young man.
Because,
You know it's not a woman, right? It's a man. A young man. Why? Because he thinks, I'm not going to die. You know, it's not going to be me. This is the material energy. It makes us stupid. Gadapachis means a 25-year-old jackass. There's a Hindi saying like that. The young man is stupid for the most part. Because they think, I'm not going to die. That's the farthest thing from their mind. But the intelligent person, he knows I can die at any moment. Why should I risk that? Why should I be foolhardy? Let me use my valuable time in a proper way. So sometimes you say, it's folly to be wise where ignorance is bliss. Everybody's in ignorance here. If we try to enlighten them, then they become angry. Oh, what are you interfering with my kite-flying business? So, what to do? Therefore, we say it's a thankless task, this preaching. It's not easy sometimes, Prabhupada commented like that. You have to spend gallons of blood to convince one person. There was one sort of incident there where Prabhupada was preaching to some yogi in Vrindavan. And he was preaching you know, for like an hour. Then at the end, he agreed to take a Krishna book. And he said, Prabhupada felt some success, but he said, this is it. This is our work. We have to expend so much energy. And then maybe he'll lose it. But anyway, this is the activity that is most appreciated by the Lord. Here we see the Lord is appreciating Bhikkhu's prayers. But in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, the one who I most appreciate is those who explain this subject matter to the innocent people. So there are still many innocent people. Therefore, we should take the trouble to explain to them the principles of Bhagavad Gita. What are the principles of Bhagavad Gita? It's described in the introduction. There's a time, there's the living entities, there's material nature, there's the Lord, and there's karma. So these things are all elaborately explained in the Bhagavad Gita. We should learn them, and then we can preach. We don't have to become a great scholar. Just learn a few principal verses and the principles behind the whole Bhagavad Gita. Then anyone can preach with authority, with conviction. But if we don't practice, then our preaching, of course, won't be very potent. This is the first qualification. Therefore, in Prabhupada's temples, he was always stressing, you have to chant 16 rounds, get up for Mangalarti, attend the program. This is the first business, so that we qualify ourselves. What is our qualification to preach to anybody? We're also conditioned, we've also come to the material world. But we've found a process, bhakti yoga process, that is very potent, very authorized. So naturally, such a good thing, we want to share it with others. But how can we share it if we're not taking it nicely? If we're taking something, we accept it, we buy it, so to speak, then we can sell it to others. But if we're not convinced by it, and that's, you know, we say actions speak louder than words. So our actions have to be there. Are we actually acting like a devotee? Are we trying to please the Lord by all our activities? We should be moving in that direction to make the dhamma everything, 100%, in the service of the Lord. We may find during the Grihastha phase that it's difficult. But therefore, the Varnashram system is that, okay, you have to raise your children, and you may be appear to be sidetracked. Of course, that's not necessary either. But at least at the last stage, then your children are grown up, then you should again come to the point of full service to Prabhupada's mission. Why not? Now we are experienced, trained up, whole lifetime. We've learned, going through Grihastha Ashram, what is the sex life? Everyone is bewildered in this material world with sex life. So the Vedic system is to train you. Okay, you thought sex life is so wonderful, but now you see actually what it is. It means raising children, being responsible. So much problem is there. There's some pleasures there also, no doubt. But along with it, there has to be problem. So then you come to the age, you know, 50, 60, whatever. Then you say, all right, now I see what sex life is. I'm no longer enamored by this rubbing genital business. And let me become then enamored about what? About pushing on Srila Prabhupada's mission. That should be the conclusion. This is why the Varnashram system is set up like this. And then we go through Grihastha. Then we see. And we can come out. And then we can be very valuable to the other Grihasthas, to the Brahmacharis who are coming. We can be the most, you could say, valuable members. People get worried, oh, who will take care of me when I'm old? I don't have insurance, I've been a devotee, and so on. But no, if you actually imbibe these principles, become actually Krishna conscious, then you'll be the most valuable person in the community. Everyone will want to help you, to serve you, to associate with you, to hear from you, because you're giving the most valuable thing. So don't be in anxiety, who will take care of me when I'm old? Oh, Krishna promises. He'll carry what you lack. He'll preserve what you have. This is his promise. Don't worry. Declare very boldly, my devotee is never vanquished. So we should take that, have that conviction that if I just mold my life in such a way, at least in the last stage of life, that I'm fully engaged in Krishna's service, then my life is successful. Then I can say, just like at the end of the day, if we work hard, we have a successful day. But at the end of the day, we rest, while we're taking rest, we feel some satisfaction. Today was a good day. We accomplished this, we accomplished that. So old age is like that. You work hard while you're young, and then at the old age you'll come, you'll feel happy, you'll feel satisfied. That my life has been a success, and my future is very bright. Whereas the materialists, their future is very dark. They don't know where they're going. And they become stupid. You see them in the old people's home. Senile. They don't. They become like a vegetable. Because they have no future. But the devotee, even he's old, his future is very bright. And then what you can see in the eyes, how they're very happy. And because happiness really is that we're thinking the future is bright. Why the young people are happy? Because they're thinking, oh, as soon as I get a little older, then I'll have a car, then I'll have, a girlfriend, a boyfriend, then I'll have, isn't that what David Foster was saying, his daughters, they expect, when they're 16, they expect a car. So now you're not happy, but you're going to get a car, a job, a good money, your own house, so you don't have to listen to your parents. And then when you have that, then there's always, the next problem is, well, the children are coming, and have to take care. Like this, Prahlad was telling his schoolmates, now you should take to Krishna consciousness. Because there'll always be some problem. But at least as devotees of ISKCON, devotees of Srila Prabhupada, followers of Srila Prabhupada, we all have the wonderful alternative. We don't have to go into that morose condition of old age. We have a bright future. Krishna promises that janma karma cha me divyam evam yo ve kitafata. If you know about my birth and activities, then naiti mam eti sojourn. You don't have to come back to this miserable place of birth and death. So what is the difficulty? Prabhupada has given us everything to know. All we have to do is agree and follow nicely, and then our future is very bright. But unfortunately, we become faithless. Even the devotees, we see that they're so anxietyful. Oh, what's going to happen to me when I'm old? Who will take care of me? What? Why don't you have a little faith that Krishna will take care of you? And just, minimize your needs. Don't be extravagant. Anybody who knows the subject of Bhagavad Gita and can live in a very, not an extravagant way, they'll be welcome in any temple. Any temple will give you facility. You go to India, any place. And because you have something the most valuable thing, you have knowledge. This is the most valuable thing. You have real knowledge and realization. And therefore, you'll be welcome. So don't think you have to have a big retirement plan or something. You can take care of your children, wife, everything, okay. But then you should go in that direction. Your wife can assist you too. Take Varnaprastha and then become some asset to Srila Prabhupada's movement. We know this is what's pleasing to Prabhupada. This is so clear. He wants everyone to assist him. What is he doing? He's trying to spread the Krishna conscious movement all over the world. So simply we have to assist him. Why is it so difficult? It's not difficult, it's easy. But we have no faith, or we're not simple. We think we're going to improve on what Prabhupada has given us. We're not happy just to be to assist. We want to start our own movement or something. So, what to do? Prabhupada used to say sometimes. But what is the problem? There's no problem. Everything is there. It's perfect and complete. Simply we have to agree. And then all the problems will be dissolved. Vishnu will help us. He'll give us the intelligence. Tesham Santayutana Vajatam Pitikur. The Dhani Guru Yoga comes. He says, I'll give you the intelligence, you can come to me. But he's giving us that intelligence, but we're thinking we're more intelligent. He's giving us the way to go forward, but we're so puffed up. We think, no, I know better. And therefore we make everything complicated, and then we become bewildered, and then we think, oh, this Krishna consciousness doesn't work. We lose our faith. We lose our enthusiasm. We no longer have a taste for the chanting and dancing and seeing the deity so nicely dressed. We prefer to watch the television. So what to do? Okay, any questions or comments?
I was thinking, you're talking about how so many people, when they get old, they really have no plans how to enjoy themselves besides getting together. Some old people live in certain areas, they join organizations and take a lot of medication to talk about it all the time. And it seems like when somebody gets old, they're so set in their ways, it's pretty hard to take the Krishna consciousness. But like you're saying, that's the actual way to finish your life off the last so many years, whatever your stage you're at. But so many people, it's so hard for them to think like that.
No, therefore we want the young people. We don't go to the old people's home to preach. We go to the university. Mm-hmm. But I'm preaching to you all. You're all getting old. Then therefore you should be...
No, we're spirit souls.
We're only on this side, more and more. Why there's not more people here to hear the sannyasi giving class? There's so many people out there, what are they doing? I mean, devotees, I'm talking about. Any other comments? So, Tushati Charamantika, we have to enlighten each other. The devotees are not coming, then you have to coax them, or cajole them, or press them somehow or other. Convince them that, let's first of all preach to the devotees. We have such a wonderful temple, nice atmosphere, beautiful deity. Saturday morning, most people are not working. There should be more people here. That's my point. Nice atmosphere. I mean, we can also worship the Lord in our house. That's okay. We had a program last night with somebody else. Still, the temple is special. Why did Prabhupada take the trouble of creating the temples? Especially sannyasis there, then let's go to here.
As we're struggling with Krishna consciousness and going about our effort in our sadhana, it seems like it's inevitable we think of our eternal position with Krishna. And generally, it's something, my understanding, we just advance normally, nicely, and it's revealed from within the heart. But what is the right way for us to think about our relationship with Krishna eternally at this point? So that it doesn't become offensive.
That was service. We should think of that we want to approach Krishna through Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. Narottama advises us we can't enter Radha Krishna conjugal affairs until we first of all, the Goswamis tell us, we have to go through Lord Nityananda. So, in that, everybody's a servant of Lord Chaitanya. In other words, that's his everybody's rasa with Lord Chaitanya, they want a servantship. So that should be our thinking. First we're the servant of our spiritual master, and then we're the servant of Lord Chaitanya. Then, okay, we're serving Lord Chaitanya, and now we're doing nicely then, just like Jiva Goswami. Then by the permission of Nityananda, you can go to Vrindavan. Then we can think about rasa and so on. I wouldn't think about us at this point. I should just think of how to serve Father's mission. As a servant of Lord Chaitanya. This is Lord Chaitanya's mission. Otherwise, when is our Baba, when this kind of talk was going on, right, in LA, Gopi Baba Club, Baba said, first of all, deserve, then desire. You deserve to be a Gopi, then you can desire to be a Gopi. But what is our qualification that we deserve to be Gopis at this point? Are we completely free from any tinge of mundane sex attraction? Then we should, no, we're not. So therefore we should qualify ourselves by serving. Then when we're perfectly pure, then Krishna will reveal to us what is our rasa. You don't have to imagine now. Oh, maybe I'm a peacock. So, well, what do you think? Let's first of all deserve. Now that's easy to do. We can all deserve. We can say, become qualified by serving Srila Prabhupada's mission, Lord Chaitanya's mission. It's such a joyful mission. We have a nice facility here, wonderful restaurant, serving nice prasadam. Bring people to the restaurant, bring them in for the darshan, tell them to come on Sunday, hear nice philosophy, give them books. So Krishna is giving you a good facility. And then we should think, tax our brain, how to bring more people, bring busloads of people. In New Vrindavan, they're bringing busloads of people, right? Way out in the country, so. But make some plan, you know, how to preach, how to use this facility more thoroughly. And begin by preaching to the other devotees while you're sleeping Saturday morning instead of coming to hear the Swamiji speak. Or whatever you're doing. Watching television, listening to the Iraqi news.
Iraqi news.
There's more men in the community than these few here. Right? How many men in this community? I mean, how many people, how many devotees like in a 10 block radius of here? How many, just men, say?
100.
100?
30. Maybe at least 80, maybe not the best.
30, you said?
Through our feast, well, we have a big turnout.
And then they come from far. But yeah, I mean, the people, they came, they bought a house nearby, so they'd be near the temple. So here's the temple. Why are they not here? Why did they buy a house in, you know, somewhere? It's not the greatest neighborhood. Why are you coming here? Because it's near the temple. So you buy a neighborhood, you buy a house in a neighborhood like this, and you don't come to the temple, you know, maybe they come on Sunday for the feast. Okay, anyway, I don't want to. Shambhavitam ki.